I just want to give this church some of the early words that the Lord gave me when I was starting Family Worship Center and sort of build the core of ideas behind why we're here. Now, there are good churches in Sumter. There are many. We're just a church. We're not the church. We're a church. And God has good churches here that have Jesus in the middle of them. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We're not here to pluck people from churches. Now, we are here for hungry people, and that may be people in churches. How many know we belong to God, not to the church? Just put your hands up and say, thank God I'm God's son or daughter. Amen. I mean, you don't belong to Family Worship Center. You come here, you don't belong here. I mean, and pastors have to learn that when we get started, that the people don't belong to us. They belong to God, and we have to allow God to work in their hearts. But if you have to understand, if God places a pastor in a place, he has a vision, a ministry, something important that he's supposed to do. There is something about us that is not the other church. It's not the other denomination. As a matter of fact, when God told me to start the church, he told me don't have an organized membership. Now, that didn't mean we don't have members. It just meant don't have papers people sign. He said it to me this way. You don't have to sign anything to go to a movie. You know, I mean, you could sign something and not really be a member because it's your time, talent, resources, abilities, and all that you do that make you a member. The church that you're in is where you're a member. How many agree with that? I mean, you can keep your membership wherever you want to. If you want to be on the rolls somewhere, be on the rolls. But we were going to have an open membership. If you come to the church and you attend the church and you love the church and you love the things in the church and you're helping in the church and you're sowing into the church, you're a member. Somebody say amen. When you stop tithing, sowing, giving, and you leave, you're not a member. Somebody say amen. And I don't care who's buried in the graveyard. Of course, we don't have a graveyard. We just go down to the local cemetery. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a lot of people still in the church because their family's there and somebody's buried outside. I'm not going anywhere where somebody else is buried. Amen. I want to go where somebody's alive. Somebody say, I want to go where there's life. He said he'd give us life and that more abundantly. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants you alive. Come on, he wants you alive. Find another person that looks dead and tell him, man, wake up. Isn't that what it says? Awake thou that sleepest, arise. Amen. Amen. If they start sleeping while I'm preaching, nudge them real good. Amen. Or I'll just come down and preach next to them. Amen. But I just really want to kind of give you an idea. We started in a small building over there by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord told us to come. He put it in our heart to go there. This would be where we would start our first church. I didn't understand what he meant to me. I certainly understand different today because now we're doing what we didn't do then. And early on, and I've told this story, I'm telling it because I want it to resonate. I mean, you could go anywhere, but there is a place that is connected to you. There is a place where it's your company. It's your company. The Bible says they went to their own company. This is important because what you hear, what's taught matters. Come on, what's taught matters. Here's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. What word you hear is what you will believe. It doesn't matter if it's this week you hear faith and next week you hear doubt. You'll believe one of them. And where you are is what you believe. If you continue to be taught doubt and unbelief and all those things, you will believe that. You can be saved and serve God and love God and have nothing. I mean, or you can be saved and have all the blessings. How many know what I'm talking about? Forget not all the benefits. God has benefits for us. You could be saved and not have healing in your body if they don't teach on healing. If healing's not a part of the emphasis of the church, it won't be part of your emphasis. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. What we hear initiates what we believe. It's our believing process. It was very hard for me. I grew up in religious circles, and because of that, the bottom core of that was that I was taught some doubt and unbelief and some things religiously, and for years it took a while for me to listen. The hardest thing for me to understand was prosperity, and I still fight that message. Not in my spirit, but I still have to deal with that I grew up not as, I guess you wouldn't have called us poverty, but my dad was a pastor and there were moments that it was like that. It was poverty moments. We would live in parsonages and things like that, and there would be seasons. seasons when it was really good, but overall, you were dependent upon the church. When they threw you out as a pastor back then, you'd end up in some pretty dark moments. I can remember sitting at a table, and we had a table with north, south, east, and west on paper folded up in a bowl, and my dad said, pick where we're going. That was our future. You know, so I lived that way. And all that stuff kind of got in me. My wife was the same way. She grew up in a poverty home. Her father had left when she was very little. He left them with nothing at all. Took all the furniture, took everything, left them with a house and four dogs. I mean, just left them in the house. And so Amy and I have been through these moments, and we literally have to fight the enemy over what we were taught. That God, you know, that it was okay. That it was almost like we were believing God. You know, just to survive, and the negative thing was more important than listen, God loves you as bad as things are, and the worse they get, the better God loves you. It's crazy to somebody, but that's how we lived, and I have to come back and say the Lord makes rich and add no sorrow to it. Come on, what you hear is what you're going to believe. I have to keep continuing to teach myself and preach to myself because I leak. How many know you leak? You leak. You're a leaky vessel. Amen. So somebody comes and they preach the word to you, and they got to preach it next week, because if you don't hear it again, you'll go back to that old stuff again. Amen. You got to stay. What you hear is what you believe. And I want you to know something. We're going to preach the word. We're going to preach you to a point where you can believe God, stand on God, confess what God says, have what God said you can have, live the way God called you to live. We're coming out. We're coming up. We're going over. We're going beyond. We've got more in store. God's got a plan that's bigger than where we are right now. Hallelujah. How many know more is in store? From grace to grace, from glory to glory. Somebody say, God's good all the time. And all the time, God's good. Just look at your neighbor and say, I want you to know something. God's good all the time. All the time. And so once we started out, I remember I went to a little church, and you have to understand, we were just getting started. We had to find a building, had to get going, but things had fallen apart. I won't go into the whole details, but now I'm confused because the building we had was rented to another person, even though I had rented it. They rented it from underneath me. I've moved three families. I'm standing there with no building. What am I doing? And because I believe the Lord said you'll build your first church there, but now what does that mean? I told my wife, I said, maybe God wants me to help somebody. Maybe that's what he wants. Listen, I want you to know something. I may be pastor of Family Worship Center, but I'm a servant of the Most High. If you want to put a parking vest on me, I'll park cars. It's not about wearing the cloak of a pastor. I don't need a title. That's not a title. That's a calling. I'll carry the calling, but don't think that my idea humanly is that I am some superseding person. I'll do whatever. I'll go make hamburgers this afternoon. That might not be my best function, which it's not. God called me to preach. We ought to function in our best function, but we ought to have the right spirit about it. We ought to have the right attitude about it. Every one of believers, the kingdom believers, ought to be workers for God. When you see something that needs to be done, if there's paper in the parking lot, we ought to all be willing to pick it up. I didn't get enough shouting. That wasn't enough right there. I didn't get enough shouting right there. Some of us are prima donnas. We think we have special positions. And because we do this or we do that, we sing or we play or we do this or that or the other. All of a sudden, we don't have to do nothing but sing or play. You weren't called to sing and play. You were called to serve. I didn't get enough shouting right there. We're servants of the Most High God. If there's no piano, what are you going to do? If there's no microphone, what do you do? Whatever's available in the kingdom, you stretch your hand to work. Somebody say amen. I told the Lord, whatever you want me, I'll do it, whatever it is. Lord, do you want me to just help another church? And so I started going to this church that was similar to ours, and that I saw was something like what we were going to do. They were singing similar songs at the time, and it had a similar spirit to us. It wasn't us exactly, but it was like us. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm enjoying this a little. One night I go over and something had happened in the church to show me that they didn't really believe in healing like I did. See, this is exactly what happened. He was up in the front and he said, if somebody was to fall dead up here, I don't want you running up your prayer room, I want you running to the phone and calling 911. Well, that bothered me. Because I want you to know something. I pray to God everybody in this church has enough power and belief to run up here and lay hands on a sick individual and believe that they would be healed. My trust is not in 911. My trust is in the Lord. I'm not saying don't call 911. Trust me, there'll be plenty of people to call 911, but will there be people who will come and lay hands on the sick? I know where I'm going to be. I might look at one of the staff members and say, call 911, but I'm laying my hands on them and calling them back to life. Come on, we have a church that believes they'll come back to life. We have a church that believes devils will come out of people. We have a church that believes sicknesses and diseases will leave them through the blood of Jesus. We have a church that believes in the blood and the stripes of Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals today. He still delivers today. He still sets free today. He's still helping today. He's still a strong tower today. Come on, somebody shout amen. Woo, he's the same. Come on, somebody. He's still doing the same stuff. He's going to do the same stuff in Florence. He's going to do the same stuff in Georgetown. He's doing the same stuff in Columbia. And he's going to do the same stuff right here in Sumter, South Carolina. People are going to get up off their beds. Cancers are going to come out of people. Tumors are going to leave their brains. People are going to be delivered from drugs and alcohol and addictions. I'm believing to see it. You know, in Azusa, when Pentecost came back and we saw it again on Azusa Street, one of the great things is when you walked in, all you would see were crutches and things all over the wall. The people that got healed and the miracles that happened. Listen, the church hadn't changed. Jesus hadn't changed. I'm waiting for the day when God comes back into the church and shows us that power where we can show the display of God's miracle-working power, where the display, people walk in and say, whatever they need, trust in God to get it. Somebody say amen. As I was walking out of that building discouraged with what I had heard, the Lord said to me, Steve, I want you to be one of another, not one of the same. I heard it as if you were talking to me. Steve, I want you to be one of another, not one of the same. Coming in here to Sumter, South Carolina, God has brought us here to be something different, not the same. I'm not saying we won't sing some of the songs they sing and take up offerings like everybody other church does. I mean, there are things that are prescribed for churches to do. They're normal children's ministries. But I'm asking that the Holy Spirit floods the house. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm asking that the presence of God comes. And when we walk in, you know, the Bible says the power of God came so much so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. I want the cloud of the glory of God to enter our churches. Somebody say amen. That's what we're wanting. Not that people, listen, we walked around the parking lot asking God to anoint the parking lot. So when people got out of the cars in the parking lot, they sensed the power of God. It's not confined in a building. It's God moving in our city. He wants to move in your family. He wants to touch your kids. He wants to touch your mothers and fathers, your aunts and uncles, your brothers and sisters. He wants to move. Not just so they would know a little bit about God, but they would know God. Paul said, I want to know him, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. He called us to be one of another, not one of the same, one of another. I was outside. We had like 8 people for so many months at the church, and 4 of them were family. I mean, you know, I've learned to be stable with God. Now the church in Florence lists about 1,800 in membership, and it's growing all over the different cities, including this one. You know, I'm not worried about who shows up. I'm just, if it's just me and somebody, I'll preach. I'm not impressed with numbers, and I don't care if you like me on Facebook. I'm not interested in all that. Although it does feel good if you like me, you can like me today. Amen. It's not about that. It's not about liking people on Facebook or all those kinds of things. It's not about personal notoriety. It's about Jesus' notoriety. Jesus said, if you'll lift me up, I'll draw all men to myself. He's the core. He's the center. And we ought to lift him up every time we walk through the door. Everything we ought to do about Jesus. It's just about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Just say that. It's all about Jesus. I'm walking outside. I'm discouraged on a Wednesday night. I don't think there might have been 4 people. I had sound man and his wife, me and my wife, and maybe a kid. I'm telling you, I had walked outside, I was discouraged, and I was just, I mean, you know, I didn't understand about the breath of God, that God can breathe on something, and when he breathes on it, life comes to it. But as I'm walking around outside, I heard the Lord. He said, Steve, I want you to be an oak, not a pine. I understood exactly what he meant. I want your roots to be deep. I want there to be a system of rooting that when the winds and the floods come and when rains come and when all those things happen, that you're so grounded and so rooted and you're so infected the ground around you that you're not going to be blown over. This church won't be blown over. We've stuck it out for a year when everybody said we would leave. And I want you to know we ain't leaving. Somebody say amen. We ain't leaving. I know that's bad English, but it's Steve English. You ain't, we're not going anywhere. Somebody say amen. We're not leaving Georgetown. We're not leaving Columbia. Wherever God plants us, we are an oak. We're not a pine. We're not going to be blown by the wind. We're not going to be shifted when things change. God's called us for a word for a city. Somebody say amen. You know, God does not send a city to a church. He sends a church to a city. We're not calling on God to send the city to us. We're calling on God to fill us so the city can come. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? God, fill this place. Put helps and ministries of helps and people of helps. Lord, give us everything we need to get going. I want you to be an oak, not a pine. I want you to know this church is an oak. One of the things is that the big thing about the city right now is they keep saying, we don't want this to be a Dollar General. We've heard it over and over again. We don't want this to be a Dollar. They're just talking about they don't want it to become some kind of a sales facility right in the middle of this beautiful lake drive and people using it like it would be a Dollar General. Well, all we know to tell them is this will never be a Dollar General. This will never be a Dollar General. The Lord sent me here. He pointed this building out and we're not doing this so one day we can transfer it to Dollar General. Somebody say amen. This is a church, man. This is called by God. We've anointed it. It will remain a church. Somebody say amen. Amen. God's called us to be an oak, not a pine. I was praying one day and I'm struggling because, you know, we're just, you know, I actually said it out of my mouth. I said, God, you know, because we were talking about stuff and I just let these words come out of my mouth. I said, Lord, we're just a little church. And the Lord rebuked me. Kurt just straight up rebuked me. He said, Steve, you're not a little church. You're just a young church. You're strong in the spirit. Boy, when I heard that, it lit me up because I want you to know something. We are a strong church, strong in the spirit. Right now, right here, I've known somebody. He said, despise not the days of small beginnings. Never get discouraged with the few people that come when you think there ought to be more. Never get concerned that it didn't get big enough when it should have got big enough or didn't grow the way it should have grown. We're not doing it like the world. This isn't a sales campaign. This is an anointed campaign. And God knows who to bring and when to bring them. Somebody say amen. Get excited that you're in the days of small beginnings. It starts small, but God has something big. And it's not always that it would be people in a pew. Some folks have crowds of people, tons of people, but there's no Holy Ghost, no change, no manifestation, just crowds of people. They've got ice cream socials and Sundays and all the fun things to do. But I want you to know something. When somebody's touched by God, they change. Something about them is different. They're no longer the same. Something changes in their life. When you've really been touched by God, something will change. God will deal with you and He'll deal in your spirit and say, you need to fix this. You need to corrected. And if one person is changed, see, God said it's one soul. I'm not getting enough shouting. He said one. Hallelujah. One soul. One is worth the whole. Someone in Sumter needs us. Someone needs our word. Someone needs transformation. Someone needs change. Someone in Florence needs change. Someone in Georgetown and Columbia needs change. Wherever we go from here, they need change. They need an excitement about God. You're not small. You're just young. You're strong in the spirit. I want you to know this is a strong church. Being part of a family of churches makes a massive difference. It makes a massive difference. It's wonderful for these guys. I have a tremendous pastor who speaks into my life, and soon he'll be coming here. He helped us pray over this when we first walked in this building for the first time. Soon he'll be coming to Florence to preach, and he's a mighty man of God, an amazing man of God. I had a great father, and I also have a father in the faith, this pastor of mine. And it made a difference and an impact in my life to be able to call somebody and say, what did I do? What do I need to do different? You know, it impacts us to have help. And you churches today have help. There's a core of us that can talk. I mean, they're growing up. And, you know, when your boys get older, I used to help Brian drive. Now I let him drive on his own. And they're getting to where they're driving on their own. And pretty soon they'll have sons. And I'm believing for them to build churches. I can't wait to go to one in Georgetown or Columbia, somewhere near there, where they felt the call of God and God gave them a building and gave them resources. Well, we only got so many and so many. It doesn't matter how many you got. God's not based on that. He's just waiting for you to listen. To listen to the Holy Ghost. We listen to him when he talks. But I'm going to be the dad sitting in the room when they're talking about their church they just built somewhere else. I'm the dad now over the church they're over, and we watch over them. But I just long for the days that they grow and reach out. It's just touching me at the moment. Hold on a second. I'll catch up. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not a pine. You're an oak. I'm walking around the building one day and I'm praying. We're just a little tiny church. There were two aisles that went up the sides of the building, and then there was a, it kind of went around the back, just 2,500 square feet, so it wasn't far to walk. Amen. But I'm walking up this aisle, and as I'm walking up that aisle, I heard the Lord. I heard the Lord. I've only, you know, I'm careful not to do. When I say I heard the Lord, most of the time I'm talking about I hear him in my spirit. I'm not hearing audible voices. We don't just walk around hearing God like that. God deals with us spirit to spirit, my spirit and your spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. We hear him in our spirits. I've learned to listen to him in my spirit. But this time was different. As I'm praying and seeking God, walking up this aisle, the Lord speaks to me and I hear him. I just hear it. I hear it like a voice. And this is what I heard. You're at ground zero. You're at the epicenter of what I'm about to do. I just want to be part of God's plan. Hallelujah. It might be the last day of my ministry, but I promise you, I'm going to see exactly what God said. I'm going to walk out exactly, and we're seeing it little bit by little bit. We're seeing how God has taken a small location with 2,500 square feet on a little tiny building in the middle of Florence. It wasn't anything anybody would brag about, nothing nobody would be proud of. When my pastor came for the first time, he called it a matchbox. And you're over there in that matchbox. Nobody would have thought that this church could have built three churches, spawned and grown pastors. But God said, you're at the epicenter. You're at ground zero. I want you to know you are part of ground zero. You're part of ground zero. And no matter who comes and who goes, you know, people come, people go. It's part of the ministry because you belong to the Lord, and we are humans and we go through things. People come, people go. It doesn't change the word of God if they come or if they go. God said it, that means he settled it. That means it's reality. And all we have to do is obey it and walk in it. And if we'll walk in it, we'll see it. The Lord gave me one word recently, and I was in my car. I was coming back from Charlotte. And as I'm coming back from Charlotte, I'm sitting in the front seat of the car. It's Christmas time. We're about to have our Christmas thing. We try to do something special for Christmas, something nice. And we're trying to learn how to do it in all the churches so they're all alike, you know. So we all work together. These guys have great brains. I have more of the sit around and do nothing part now. They put it all together. If it doesn't look good, blame them. Somebody say amen. And I'm coming back, and there was a mega church, a big mega church, had thousands, probably 20,000 people going to the church. And I'm watching their show. It was early. You know, they had them usually 3 or 4 days before Christmas and then Christmas Day or whatever. And I'm watching their show on television. As I'm watching the show on television, all of a sudden I see the elves fly out and Santa come in. And my heart is broken because the church is not about elves and Santa. Jesus, I'm sitting there thinking, Jesus is the reason. I'm offended. And that's okay. I mean, I'm just offended at this. You know, at Family Worship Center, we don't play any secular music in our church. We don't invite things like that. And people feel like that's okay. I do not. I believe this is a holy place. And we ought to bear holy gifts and holy presence. We're not trying to be like the world. I don't want the solid gold dancers on my platform. Nobody's shouting amen, but y'all know who that I'm talking about. Amen. We're not going to look like the world. We're to transform the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're to transform the world. We're not going to invite the devil in. We're inviting Jesus in. Amen. I don't want to do anything to confuse that. And that's personal. I don't want anything to confuse that. However, they're running 20,000 and I'm upset. I'm not running 20,000. And I'm in my car and I'm just riding in my car. And all of a sudden, I left the car. I'm no longer in the car. And I'm standing on the beach, Myrtle Beach. We're still driving down the road, but I'm not in the car. Now, I may have been sitting in the car, but I'm telling you, I left there in a vision. I'm at Myrtle Beach. I'm standing in Myrtle Beach. And I'm watching these people surf. There are people close to the edge. Some have already got on the sand. Others are out waiting on waves to come. Some are riding the waves. Some are just getting on waves. You know how it is. And as I'm standing there, I hear in my spirit, I hear in this vision the Lord say, wait on your wave. Wait on your wave. I knew God was talking to me. Wait on your wave. It didn't take long for him to say all I needed to hear. Wait on your wave. There is a wave coming that God has designed that we're going to ride. And it won't be somebody else's wave, and it won't look like somebody else's way to do things. God doesn't call us to follow somebody else. He calls us to follow him. You don't just duplicate what somebody else did. You got to do what God said do. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? This church will be built on us. We do what God said. When God speaks it, we will do it. We will follow that plan. We will obey the Lord God Almighty. We are not doing it out of our head. We're doing it out of our heart. We're not following man's ideas. We're following God's ideas. Just because somebody else had success with this method doesn't mean that's the method we're going to do. I want you to know what I know in my spirit. I know the method God called us to. He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters. I'm going to pour it out on your handmaidens. I'm going to pour. How many know the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to shake the church and shake the stuff off of us and shake the things out? I'm waiting on the outcome of a wave that's filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on an outcome. I'm waiting on a wave to come that stirs our hearts and transforms our bodies. I'm waiting on a wave to come that's going to shake sickness and disease out of people. I'm waiting on a wave to come that unlocks prison doors. I'm waiting on a wave to come that's going to unlock our hands and free our feet. Turn us. I'm waiting on a wave to come. There's a wave. Wait on your wave. Just wait on your wave. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! I'm waiting on a wave. Sumter is waiting on a wave. Columbia's waiting on a wave. Georgetown's waiting on a wave. Florence is waiting on a wave. It's the wave of the Holy Ghost. It's the wave of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have internet. And they didn't have websites. But the Bible says thousands would come and thousands would get saved in the New Testament. I want you to know something. There's a wave of the Holy Spirit that isn't going to require us to have more lights. I'm not offended with lights. He needs to be lit. He's in the dark. I'm not offended with lights. I love this screen. I love what's going on in Celebration. But if we substitute that for the power of the Holy Spirit, we have failed. It isn't the lights. It isn't the cushiony seats. You know, when I grew up, all we had was little hard benches. Y'all are fortunate. I grew up in camp meeting days. I don't know if any of y'all understand what I'm talking about. Anybody ever been to a camp meeting where there was no heat and air? You're under this tent of something that we on these hard bench chairs? Thank God he gave us cushions. And I like air conditioning too. It's hot outside. Thank God we got some air. But it is not the Holy Ghost. I've seen people touched when somebody played spoons. I've seen them touched when they couldn't sing. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it doesn't matter. It's transformative. Lord, send your power. Come on, say that out loud. Lord, send your power. Send your power. Send your power, Lord.